Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
We are moving out of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and into chapter 4 today on the Beacon Broadcast. And as we are moving along in our study of 1 Corinthians, I think it's becoming more and more evident that some of the Corinthian Christians were quite critical of the Apostle Paul. Some were passing judgment upon his ministry and declaring it to be unsatisfactory, whereas others, apparently, were critical of Apollos or Cephas, that is, Peter. And all of this was contributing to divisions in the church, and it needed to be corrected. And so in the opening verses of chapter 4, Paul addresses this problem. He corrects the mistaken views that many Christians have of their ministers. And he also addresses the equally common and faulty view of human judgments. And he commands them to stop improperly judging their ministers. And so what we're going to find in this chapter is the right and the wrong way to evaluate gospel ministers. And it starts in verses 1 and 2 with a proper view of ministers. Let a man consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. What is the right way to regard a pastor, a preacher, a minister of the gospel? Let a man so consider us. And he's going to tell them how. But let's pause first and remind ourselves as to what they have been doing. How have they been regarding ministers? And some of them were regarding them primarily according to their personalities. And others saw them as innovators of human wisdom. And still others looked upon them as religious entrepreneurs, upon whose brilliant innovations rested the success of the church. But Paul says that's all wrong. Here's the way that you are to consider ministers of the gospel. Now I pause to welcome you to this Tuesday, June 29 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and thank those whose financial gifts keep us teaching God's Word on this station. Well, back to chapter 4, verse 1. Here's how we ought to do it. Let a man so consider us, we who are ministers of Christ, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. So he gives two terms to describe properly a minister of the gospel. The first one is servant, and the second one is steward. And both of them have a prepositional phrase attached to them. The first one is servant of Christ, and the second one is steward of the mysteries of God. First of all, a minister of the gospel should be regarded as a servant. And the particular word that Paul uses here, first in its first meaning, meant an under-rower. What does that mean? Well, you have to get back to the old galley slaves. We've all heard about them, read about them, and maybe seen them occasionally on television. But there were ships in the Roman world that were propelled by oars, and often were propelled by scores and sometimes even hundreds of slaves, galley slaves, and the ones that were at the lowest level were the under rowers. But that term, under rower, a rower who was under the command of somebody else, you can see that person up there who is sounding the gong to keep them all together and on the same pace, bong, 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 and they're supposed to dip that oar in the water upon every bong. If he wants to increase the speed, he turns up the speed on the gongs, bong, 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 bong. Now they're going at a frantic pace. And the person who was down there doing the rowing was an under rower, but that word, like most words over time, evolved until it became a general term for a common sailor. In other words, one who was not an officer on the ship, but he was a sailor. And then even broadened further to be used for a subordinate servant of any kind, and eventually was even applied to free men. When we talk about a subordinate servant of any kind, of course, in the Roman world, that primarily refers to a slave. But eventually, it even applied to free men who were under the direction of another. But that's the common element of all of these extensions of the word. In every case, it was always someone who was under the direction of another. Whether we're talking about a galley slave who is an under rower, a common sailor who's under the command of officers on the ship, a subordinate servant of any kind who is under the direction of a master, even free men who work for somebody else and are therefore under their supervision. That's what this word servant means. It's always of one who is under the direction of another, and that's what Paul said is what we ought to view ministers as. Let a man consider us, we who are ministers, like Paul and Apollos and Cephas, let a man consider us as servants. But the question is, servants who are under the direction of whom? And there are some who mistakenly view pastors, for example, as being servants under the direction of the church. Wrong. Now, granted, and it's a fine line, and you have to understand it, granted, a pastor is a servant of the church in the sense that he serves the church, but he's not a servant who is under the command of the church. He's not under the direction of the church. Well, we're Baptists and we believe in congregational government, and that means the congregation rules, and that means the pastor's under the direction of the church. Well, that wasn't the way Paul said we ought to regard ministers. They are servants, to be sure. They are under the direction of another, but under who? Servants of Christ. Some who may not view pastors as being under the direction of the congregation as such might still think of the pastor as being under the direction of, say, the deacons. He's under the direction of a board of deacons or some other elected board in the church. And, of course, depending on the kind of church that you're looking at, others would say, no, he's under the direction of denominational leaders, if it happens to be an Episcopalian form of government. That doesn't have to be just an Episcopalian church. Methodist churches have an Episcopalian form of government and so forth. And so in that case, the minister is viewed as being under the direction of a bishop, under the direction of a general superintendent and so forth. Some will view ministers as being under the direction of some kind of ecclesiastical fellowship, but all of those are the wrong answers. Paul said, listen, this is the way that you are to regard us who are ministers of the gospel of Christ. We are servants of Christ. Yes, we are slaves, bond slaves, Paul calls himself in many places. And this under rower started out very much with a slavery context in view, We are slaves. We are servants. We're not to be considered overlords. We are servants, but keep in mind who it is that we are servants of. We are servants of Christ. That's the first term, to have a proper view of ministers. You have to view them as servants of Christ, but secondly, as a steward. And it goes on to tell us of the mysteries of God, but let's stop on that word steward for a moment, because now we have another term, and interestingly, this one involves a little bit more authority than the term servant or slave would seem to at first. But steward, and here the word means a chief household slave, a high-ranking servant entrusted with management and distribution of resources. Do you remember the parable of the unjust steward? I think that's in Luke chapter... Oh, I forget where it is. I'll have to look for it now. But the account was of a man who was a steward, and he had responsibilities to manage whatever it was, manage the farming operation, evidently, on behalf of the owner, and he wasn't being faithful. He wasn't being trustworthy. A report came to his master that he was an unjust, that is, an unrighteous and unhonest, dishonest steward. And so you remember, the master said, give an account because you are no longer steward. In other words, and the master wasn't very wise in the way he did this, because he fired him before he told him he had to give an account. If he had said, give an account and held off until the review of his performance had been completed, and then he said, on the evidence that I see here, I can no longer retain you, and I'm going to have to fire you, I'm going to have to let you go, that might have been a little bit different situation. But the master basically said, you're fired, but before you go out the door, I'm going to have an audit of everything you have done. And so the unjust steward got busy and did some things, some additional things, which were not in the interest of the master. They were in the interest of himself, and he was doing it in a way so that he would have some income and resources after he got kicked out of his stewardship. You remember that. And I won't go on any further with that very, very instructive parable. But the point I'm trying to make is that a steward wasn't a lower-level servant. He was an upper-level servant. He was still a servant, kind of like Joseph in the house of Potiphar. Joseph was a slave, but he was in charge of everything. And so that's the second word that Paul uses. First, let a man consider us as servants of Christ, and secondly, stewards, high-ranking servants entrusted with management and entrusted with the distribution of resources. So to the master, the steward was a slave, but to the other slaves, the steward was a master. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because he was the highest ranking slave in the operation, he was a general manager. He was a supervisor. He supervised the others on the estate. And so, to the master, he was a slave, but to the other slaves, he was a master. And Paul says, now that's the way you need to view ministers. We're all slaves to the Lord Jesus Christ. Some have been given oversight responsibilities. That's communicated by the word bishop, and that's indicated by this word steward. And so, time has caught us short. We'll come back again tomorrow. Join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying, good day. May God give you His eternal peace.